Well, welcome everybody. Glad that you're here today. If you have a Bible, would you turn to the book of Acts chapter 2? We're going to be in the New Testament, the book of Acts chapter 2 in just a moment. Several months ago, our daughter Rachel and son-in-law Todd announced to us that they were expecting our first grandchild, and we were so excited. But what do you think has been our number one prayer since the day we found out Rachel was expecting? Do you think we're really concerned about whether this child's going to be right-handed or left-handed, tall or short, boy or girl, academic or athletic, blue eyes or brown? Y'all think we really are worried about that? What do you think the number one thing we're praying about this child would be? Tell me if you know. We want this child to be what?
Healthy.
Right. A Dallas Cowboys fan and healthy in that order. We want a healthy child. Why? Because generally speaking, healthy things grow and they multiply and they bless. Typically speaking, healthy things grow and multiply and bless. And so we're praying for a healthy baby, and then we'll help that child to grow in a healthy way, we pray. Now, as this new year starts off, I'm sure that a lot of you are thinking about making some life changes, maybe doing better, getting healthy. And so this teaching series over the next couple of weeks called Get Fit is aimed at helping you find health in spirit, soul, and body. Now, here's why. Paul wrote this prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. I want y'all all to just read it out loud with me. Come on, let's read it together, all campuses. Let's read. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Paul's prayer for these people that he loved, who he had helped find faith in Christ, is that now God would go to work in them and wouldn't quit in helping them to become complete in spirit and in soul and in body. That's what his prayer is that from the inside out, these people would be totally transformed. That's God's desire for you in 2024. God's desire for you is that God would himself begin to sanctify you entirely from the inside out, to sanctify you, cleanse you, purify you, bring you to holiness. It means you're set apart from your old way of life without Christ and set apart to the Holy Spirit, set apart to God entirely, completely, in all respects, perfect, spirit, soul, and body, and preserved complete, he says. No part lacking, no part unsound. Everything about you complete and whole. Now, whenever we talk about spirit, soul, and body at Pine Lake, a lot of times we talk about an identity drawing that just helps us understand the way God made us. We believe that every person is given a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your spirit is where you're conscious of God. It's where things like faith and prayer and worship truly come from. We believe that you also have a soul. It's where you're self-conscious. Your soul is typically made up made up of your intellect, the way you think and the thoughts that you have, your emotion, what you feel and what you want, and your choices, the things that your will, what you choose to do. Now, your soul is eternal. Your spirit is eternal. Okay, but your spirit and soul are both housed in a physical body where you're conscious of the world. You have five senses where you experience the world. Now, here's what the scripture teaches us. The scripture teaches that your identity is formed from the inside out. In other words, you're not what you do and what you think and all that. Your identity flows from the inside, who God says you are, and it flows out and informs the way I think and what I do. And life flows from the inside out. I don't try to do stuff to make myself feel better and be somebody. No, I trust who God's made me to be, and I let that begin to flow into my soul so that the way I think, what I want, and what I choose are all informed by the Spirit of God, and that changes then my physical life. What I choose to do, what I choose to look at, what I choose to say, what I choose to listen to. Y'all with me? God wants to sanctify you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, in this coming year. Now, we're going to talk about all three of those, spirit, soul, and body the next couple of weeks. But today, we're going to talk about what does it look like for you to get fit spiritually, okay? What does it look like at the center of who you are? You got to get this right first. What does it look like for you to get fit spiritually? And to do so, we're going to go to the book of Acts. Okay, I've heard it said that a river is purest at its source because the further downstream a river flows, the more you have tributaries and contamination and junk and stuff. And so if you really want to get the purity of the river, you got to go to its source. And in the same way, I've heard that the church was purest at its source, at its beginning, because the further you move away from the day of Jesus, you have more people adding stuff in or taking stuff out and a lot of messy stuff. And so the church is purest at its source. So that's why we're in the book of Acts. Now, if you don't know anything about the book of Acts, the Gospels are about the life of Jesus, and the book of Acts are about his immediate followers, his 12 disciples and those who believed in him. What did life look like whenever they lived it? They're acting out, thus the book of Acts. How did they act it out? And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them, hey, wait until the Spirit's given to you. When I give you power, that's when you're going to be my witnesses. So about 100 of them are gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem, and they're praying and they're waiting on the Holy Spirit. Well, 50 days after Jesus is raised from the grave on the day of Pentecost, that's what Pentecost means, 50 days later, while they're praying, the Holy Spirit's poured out on them, and everybody gets the Holy Spirit. Boys and girls get the Holy Spirit. Young and old get the Holy Spirit. Everybody gets the Holy Spirit, and they start proclaiming Jesus. Some of them in languages that they never even studied, and they're speaking these languages, and people are hearing it, and they're freaking out like, what is this? Some skeptics go, they're just drunk, but it was 9 a.m. Who gets drunk at 9 a.m. unless you're at the Junction of the Grove at 11 o'clock kickoff game day? But that's a different story, right? Peter said, dude, nobody's drunk. This is what the Old Testament prophesied. This is what Joel said was coming. Jesus, the Messiah, came and he lived among us and y'all saw it. You saw it. We watched him do what he did. But then in a foolish moment, you asked for Jesus to be crucified and he died. But that wasn't the end of his story, was it? No, Peter says, no, he wasn't condemned to decay in the grave. David even prophesied that he would be raised. And so Jesus is raised. He's ascended into heaven and he's poured out his Spirit on us who have believed. That was amazing. As a matter of fact, Acts 2:37 says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They had conviction. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? We crucified Christ. And Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit too. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, that's you and me. As many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Not people, souls were added that day. That's a lot of people, y'all. That's a lot of people. They're saved, we would say in church language. They got saved that day. But then what happened next? It occurs to me that for a lot of us, what happened next for us in our context, whenever we accepted Christ, was nothing really happened. Maybe you got baptized, maybe you didn't. But for most of us, many of us, nobody really engaged with us to help us to know, okay, now how do I live out this life that I just professed to receive? That was my experience. When I was 14 years old, I accepted Christ and I was baptized. And though I was in church, nobody really came alongside of me personally, individually to say, hey, let me help you now know what it means to follow Jesus personally. And as a result, I didn't really grow in my spiritual life. I stayed as dysfunctional as my old self. I was unhealthy. The way I thought, the way I lived, the way I acted, I was a taker, not a giver, and I hurt more people than I helped. Because I just didn't know any different. It wasn't until someone showed me in college how to grow spiritually healthy that my life really began to transform. Now in 2023, the year we just came out of, at Pine Lake, we baptized over 700 people. 717 people last year were baptized at one of our Pine Lake campuses. That's more than we've ever baptized in the history of the church in a single year. Now that's amazing. A lot of people, a lot of souls got saved, but now what? And here's what. I want to help you avoid what happened to me. I want to help you and the rest of us get fit and healthy because that's God's will. And because typically speaking, healthy things grow and multiply and bless. You can influence the people around you. Now, let me tell you what I'm fighting against today, all right? I want to come against something very specific in our culture in the South, all right? I'm coming against Christianity being just a belief system. Because for many of us, we believe, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible says the demons believe in Jesus. So just believing something does not mean you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, okay? And I'm coming against just religious activities, that you do religious things. Oh yeah, I got baptized. I go to church when I can. I take communion. No. That's not it. It's more than that. To follow Christ is more than that. To follow Christ, to be a Jesus follower, is a way you see life, a way you live life, and a way you plan to leave life. The way you see life, good and evil, light and darkness, God and Satan, spirit and flesh, and I'm choosing God and good and light and spirit. In a way I live life, don't just believe, but I base my life and I live it out. I want to be like Christ. In the way I plan to leave this life, no fear in death, an expectation of being with God forever. And even though it may be hard to let go, I know where I'm going. So what does true Christianity then and spiritual health look like? Well, if the river's purest at its source, if the church is purest at its source, let's look and see what happened after 3,000 souls were added. Look at verse 42. And they were continually, these new believers, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which means being together, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everybody kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began to sell their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have a need. And day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. So what'd they do? They continually devoted themselves. It's a present participle, meaning a durative action. This is what they did all the time. They devote themselves, a word which at its root means to be strong, to adhere to hold on to. They gave themselves to it. They're committed to it. It's what their attention's on all the time. Can I ask you, what's your attention on all the time? Because whatever your attention's on all the time is what you're committed to, okay? What your attention is on all the time, that's what you're gonna be committed to. If you wanna get fit, then you must be committed to and constantly give your attention to the four pillars of spiritual health that this early church modeled for us. Grow, pray, connect, and share. Grow, pray, connect, and share. Okay, so I want you today to develop a plan how you're going to, in the coming year and for the rest of your life, grow, pray, connect, and share. Okay, so let's start with grow. You got to be committed to grow in the Word of God. Spiritually healthy people have a steady intake of God's Word, and they're shaped by it in thought and life. Please hear that. You intake the Word of God and it changes the way you think at the soul level and live at the body level. You hear me? You have an intake of the Spirit of the Word of God and in your spirit, and it changes the way you think about life, the way you look at life, the things you desire in life, and the choices then you make in life with your body. The first followers of Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was Jesus like? That's what they wanted to know. What was he like? How did he talk? How did he live? How was he the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament? When's he coming back? What's that going to look like? What's he given to us? They were devoted to the teaching. They heard it and they lived it. Come on. To just hear it is not devotion. It's whenever what you hear begins to be lived out, that's devotion. That's whenever you've got what these people had. It's the acts of the apostles, not the thoughts of the apostles. Okay? It's whenever they lived it out. Years ago, God gave me a verse, showed me a kind of a growth, spiritual growth pattern. It's kind of like a wheel that just gets bigger and bigger, a snowball that gets bigger and bigger. In John 14, 21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who really loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Here's what I realized. All of us would say, "Oh yeah, I love God." And Jesus says, "Here's how I know: if you keep my commandment. Because if you keep my commandment, you'll experience my love and I'll reveal myself to you. And the more that gets revealed to you, the more you can keep. And the more you keep, the more you experience his love and he reveals." Which means the more you have to keep now. And the more you keep, the more you experience his love and he reveals. Y'all with me? So if you want to grow spiritually, start loving God by obeying God, receiving his love, and letting him reveal to you new things day by day. Walk in that obedience. You get to know the Word of God so you can know the God of the Word. What he's like, what he wants, what he gives to you. And so spiritually healthy people, listen to me, Pine Lake, spiritually healthy people learn to feed themselves on the Word of God. If you have to have me or somebody on a podcast to help you understand the Bible, you're missing it. You need to learn to feed yourself on the Word of God. That's the goal for us. When I was in college, I saw an illustration called the hand illustration about ways we intake the Word of God. The Navigators, I think, an organization, were the first to come up with this. And this is what they say. These are the five ways you should receive the Word of God. You need to hear it. It's what you're doing right now. You need to be listening to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You need to read it. All right, that's what when we say L3, we're talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus, to learn from Christ, live in Christ, and lead others to Christ. Learn, live, lead, three L's. L3 is just, how do you become a disciple? How do you grow in the Word of God? And if you'll go to the Pine Lake app, there are four different reading plans that you can choose from to systematically read through the Word of God. If you're just getting started, I suggest start with the 40-day reading of the Gospel of John. And if you're one who says, "Man, I like to read, I want to read the Bible, but I just don't understand it," then let me tell you, one of two things is true. Either one, you don't have the Spirit of God, okay, which means you haven't accepted Christ. You've not received the Spirit of God. And you cannot understand spiritual things because they're spiritually appraised. This book is written for us who follow Jesus. So number one is accept Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit, okay? And then second of all, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Jesus said, "I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you in the truth." So whenever you start to read the Bible, say, "Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm about to read here." Okay? So hear the Word, read the Word, study the Word. Get in a small group. Join a Bible study. We have a thing now called Equip, which is a class led by seminary professors teaching you really to dig deep in New Testament, Old Testament, theology, some practical things. We can help you to study the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is a sword in the hand of the Spirit, but you don't always carry around your Bible with you. Even on your phone, you ain't got time to be opening up the Bible app every time you face temptation or you don't know what to do, but when you've hidden the Word of God in your heart, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your Word. Your Word's a lamp to my feet and a light into my path, right? So whenever you've memorized, you hide God's Word in your heart, man, the Spirit of God now has something to help you with in the moment. Real time, to know what to pray, what to say, what not to do, okay? And then meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1 says, "How blessed is that man who meditates on the Word of God and the law of God. He's like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water that it bears its fruit in season. Its leaf never withers, and whatever he does, he prospers." It's a promise that if you'll intake the Word of God and let that meditation on what you hear, meditation on what you read, meditation on what you study, meditation on what you memorize, to say, "God, show me how to live it now. What does this mean for me? Show me how to live my life for you now." When you do that, that's how your spiritual life begins to transform. Nothing has helped my personal spiritual life transform like that. I'm just telling you, from the time that I began to be discipled, I fell in love with the Word of God and started hiding it in my heart and reading it. And for a long time, I never could read through the Bible. I mean, I tried to read through the Bible and I quit in Leviticus. How many of y'all ever did that? I quit in Leviticus. I ain't got time for that, right? First time I ever read the Bible in its entirety, I read it backwards. I started in Revelation and just read the books of the Bible backwards because I thought, well, if I quit, at least I'll have read something new. And so I just kept up on a 3x5 index card. Every time I read a book, I would write it down. But since that day, every year, I have a plan to let God's word dwell in my heart. Because I ain't that smart. I need a lot of help. And I need his word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's your plan to grow in the word this year? To fail to plan is to plan to fail. And if you get 2 weeks in and you quit, or 2 days in and you quit, start again. Start again. You go on a Pine Lake app, it'll give you the day's reading. You just start with whatever that is, but you got to grow in your commitment to God's word. Here's the second pillar. Be committed to pray. The first followers of Jesus devoted themselves to prayer, literally to the prayers. There are more references I read this week to prayer in the book of Acts than in any other New Testament book, which is amazing to me. But it just tells me that Jesus did everything he did by prayer, and so did his followers. They prayed about everything. They prayed through the day. They prayed at the church, and they prayed at home. They prayed individually, and they prayed together. They prayed about everything. Sometimes they prayed in desperation. Oh, God, we need you to rescue Peter. He's about to be killed. Or, God, I need you to raise this little girl back from the dead. And God answered. Sometimes they prayed out of discipline. They prayed 3 times a day, at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and then 3 p.m. They were disciplined to just say, I'm praying. I'm just going to set an alarm on my phone. We're going to pray at those hours. Listen, Muslims pray 5 times a day to nothing. And many times the miracles in the Bible that we enjoy, the healing of the lame man at the temple, Peter getting a revelation in Acts chapter 10 of the Gentiles can come in, now they're clean. Those happened in hours of prayer. Don't despise disciplined prayer. God will meet you right there. But the goal is that you would become devoted to prayer. I don't have to, and I'm not in need. I just like talking to God all day. It's a conversation that we have. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask me for anything and it'll be done for you. Abide with him, remain with him, talk to him all day long. Let his word influence the way you pray. And God says, man, you'll be amazed at how the kingdom will start to flow toward you. So I'm just suggesting to you that part of getting spiritually fit is developing in your prayer life, because spiritually healthy people develop a constant conversation with God. Now, when I do talk to folks in my office, occasionally people come and I meet with them, particularly if I'm doing premarriage counseling with them, and I talk to them about their spiritual life. And I say, tell me, understand your spiritual story. And so they tell me about their, you know, their life. And at the end of it, I always ask them the same thing. Okay, so tell me, do you read the Bible? Y'all know how that goes. You know, I should. Sometimes. Okay. Do you pray? Oh, yeah, I pray. Everybody prays. It's amazing. And that's awesome. I love it. But what I find is that most people's prayer life consists of this. You give God a to-do list in desperation. God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And because your prayers are constantly out of desperation, what you got to have happen. But past that, we don't really pray because it's hard. And we're too busy. We don't have time. There are a lot of distractions. And God doesn't seem to answer very often, and so it just feels like a waste of time. And so we're just content to just give him our to-do list, hopefully, and go on with life. And I'm saying to you, that ain't it, y'all. That's not it. I want you to develop a plan to get fit when it comes to your prayer life. And I'm going to give you some ways that I'm learning to pray, okay? This is just one beggar telling other beggars how I'm learning to pray. Okay, one of the things that's really helping me right now is a prayer app. All right, I got 3 on my phone. One's called Abide, one's called Lectio 365, the other is called Pause. Every morning when I sit down to do my devotion time, I start with that. Somebody leads me in a time of meditative prayer, just to kind of wake my spirit up so that I can begin to engage then with the Word of God. Second way I'm learning to pray is the Pine Lake Prayer app. There's a read section on it where you can read the Word, but there's also a pray section on it where you can learn to pray. And on the Pine Lake app, you can pray a couple of different ways. One is the Jesus-centered life prayer, where you can just pray every morning this prayer. Jesus, I just rejoice in my salvation, and I receive my identity in you, and I surrender my life, and I stand in my authority in you. It's just that simple. Or you can expand it on the drawings. You can expand that prayer to your desire. Another way to pray on the Pine Lake app is to pray for the requests that people submit. Over 82,000 prayer requests were submitted last year through the app, and over 3.8 million prayers were offered. We are becoming a praying people. So that's a way for you to learn how to pray just like that. Learn to pray worship songs. Sometimes whenever I'm listening to worship songs, I'm convinced that worship is just prayers put to music. And so you can learn to just pray back as you're listening to the radio on the way down the road. You can pray back. You can sing, pray back what he's done. God, glory belongs to you. God, my sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. God, I just declare that right now. Thank you. I declare, God, that there's nothing that you can't do. There's not a mountain you can't move. God, there's not my friend who needs to be, you know, set free. God, there's no prison that you can't, prison wall you can't break down. God, there's no impossibility in my life. I'm just praying the words of the song back. Y'all get that? You can pray the model prayer. You can pray the Our Father prayer. Y'all know the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? We can say it. Okay, that's a model for prayer. That's not the prayer. It's the model for prayer. Our Father, God, I just love you right now. And I thank you that you love me and make me your son. Just thank you, Lord. I love you back. God, make your name holy. Holy, hallowed be your name. God, make your name holy in my life today, God. Let it be set apart, God. Would you give me faith that you really are who you say you are, Jesus? Just let it be holy in me. Make your name holy in this situation, God. Make it be hallowed. Let people see your glory in it. God, let your kingdom come and your will be done, God. I surrender to you. Whatever you want to happen today, God, I say, let me surrender to that and receive that today. God, give me my daily bread. God, here are the things I really need for the day. God, would you meet those needs for me, and would you forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive? God, you know there's some stuff I got to confess to you. And God, I really need some help to love another person today. Lead me not into temptation. God, I need some direction today. Would you direct my life and these decisions at work, at school, with my friends? And God, would you deliver me from the evil one? God, would you give protection to me, to my kids, to my family, to my church? You know, we're just praying the Lord's Prayer. And then the last way is just pray the Word. I love to pray what I read in the morning. I love to just pray it right back to God. And so yesterday morning, as I'm reading about Abraham going through a testing time where he forgets to ask God, and he gets himself in a mess, I pray, God, please deliver me. Whatever's coming at me in 2024, God, I want to look to you first. God, would you help me to have faith in you? God, let me be honest. I want to be an honest person. Just praying the Word of God back to God. You need a plan to pray in 2024. Y'all with me? Okay? We're going to be committed to the Word of God. We're going to be committed to praying. That prayer is not an event. Prayer is a way of life. Here's a third pillar. Be committed to connecting to other Christians. Be committed to connecting with other followers of Jesus. These people were continually devoting themselves to fellowship, to doing life together with people who follow Jesus. Why? Because they had something in common. That's what the word fellowship means. In Greek, it means to have something common. They had a common grace. God had forgiven them. They had a common goal. Man, I want to be like Jesus. And they had a common guide. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are going to show us how to get there. And so they connected with people with that common grace, common goal, common God. Here's what I would suggest to you. Okay, you listen. Spiritual health overlaps and informs and shapes my relational health. In other words, what God does inside of me spiritually transforms the way I relate to you. Now, we're going to talk about it more next week when we talk about soul health. But my spirit life helps me to be better in relationship. And the people you're in relationship with are going to shape your spiritual life. Because if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. Right? And so you have to have people around you that you can be in relationship with, that you can love and be loved by the way God wants you to. Now, again, we're going to talk more about it next week, but for now, here's what I want you to hear, is you were made to be relationally connected to other people. I read on January the 1st, Genesis 1, Genesis 2:15, 1 and 2 were the reading for the day. It is not good for the man to be alone. He's in paradise. He's got a relationship with God. And yet God says it's not good for this brother to be by himself. Now, all the men in here ought to say amen, because that's why he got his wife, right? He created a helper suitable, somebody that he could relate to be naked and unashamed with. I heard a podcast recently. I don't remember which one it was, or I'd tell you which one it was. But the speaker on the podcast said, you were made for relational connection. You were made for the presence of other people. But when there's not the presence of other people, there's absence. And where there's absence, there's pain. And where there's pain, we typically try to numb the pain. And we often numb it with unhealthy things. Several years ago, I had a neurologist who specialized in addiction recovery show me a podcast. It's actually a TED Talk by a guy named Johan Harry, H-A-R-I, called Everything You Know About Addiction Is Wrong. And here's what he said. He cited this study of rats, is where it starts, with rats where they would put an individual rat in a cage and then offer it two sources of water. One's just straight water, one is water laced with heroin. And the rat would always choose the heroin-laced water until it overdosed and it died. And then they changed the experiment. They took the rats and they put them in what they called Rat Park. There were lots of other rats in Rat Park, and there were games they could play in Rat Park, and balls they could play with, and wheels they could go on. And there was community in Rat Park, and the same two sources of water. One just plain water, one laced with heroin, and they would choose plain water almost every single time. It doesn't mean they never chose the heroin-laced water, but predominantly they chose the regular water. And they thought, wow, something about being in community changes what they choose to drink. And then he cited a study of Vietnam veterans who returned from Vietnam, many of whom had seen unthinkable things, 20% of whom, he says, were at an addiction level with heroin to try to deal with that pain. And here's what they found. They studied these guys who came back to the U.S., and those who had family and friends that they came back and were connected to, almost all of them quit heroin immediately, cold turkey, with almost no side effects. But those who came home to isolation stayed addicted. And here's what he says. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's community. Because he says you were made to bond to someone, but if there's no one to bond with, you will bond with something. Sex, drugs, money, gambling, unhealthy things, even if it kills you, because you were made to bond. God wants you in 2024 to be connected to the right people. They're connected with people who are followers of Jesus. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, but that assumes that the person you're connected to is iron, because if they're not iron, if they're not following Jesus, they're dulling you, they're not sharpening you. The Bible says, love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. But if you're connected to bonding with a person who doesn't know Christ, they have no idea what love really is. And so you're sick and tired of it because they're not loving you, praying for you, encouraging you. And they can't. Not like this book says, they can't. So you need to be connected. Find a way to connect with believers who are following Jesus, who can sharpen you and help you to become what Christ has for you. A common grace, a common goal, and a common guide together. What could you do to become better connected in the coming year? Not virtually, please hear me. I'm not talking about virtually. I need to get more friends. No, that's not it. Those people are not coming to the hospital to see you. And you're not going to sit with them whenever they're in trouble. I'm talking about what can you do to really have close relationships? How could you better deepen your connection with your friends and your coworkers? I'm not asking you rhetorically. I'm asking you this afternoon to sit down and think about it. What could I intentionally do to bring spiritual truth into my relationships? What could you do to spiritually connect with your children? What would that look like? Conversations on the way to carpool, something at the breakfast table, whatever it is. What could you intentionally do to deepen our connection? What could you do to intentionally deepen your connection with your spouse or your date? One of the things Christy and I did last year was we read a psalm every morning. Not every single morning, but when we would sit down and drink coffee, we would read a psalm and then talk about the psalm and then pray that psalm over us and over our children. What's your plan to connect? If you're going to get fit, you got to be committed to connecting to followers of Jesus. Here's the last thing. Be committed to sharing what you have with others. Be committed to sharing what you have with others. The early church was a generous church. I don't know if it struck you whenever we were reading it, but they're sharing everything with each other. And listen, it wasn't socialism. They weren't forced to do it. Everybody didn't have the same thing. This was prompted by love and by the likeness of Jesus, who's so generous to us. People willingly shared what they had with people that they loved and those who just happened to be in need in the body of Christ. And they're a model for you and for me. We should be a generous people, ready to share. And the Bible says be ready to share everything, but specifically, would you be willing to share your goods, your gifts, and the gospel this year? Your goods, your gifts, and the gospel. Your goods are your money and your stuff, from a piece of pie to your tithe at church. And can I just say to our Pine Lake people, I just want to brag on y'all. Y'all are stinking amazing. Y'all are some of the most generous people on the planet. And so if you're not a Pine Lake, or if you're here today, you just need to know you're sitting among some of the most generous people on the planet. We give to God and to spiritual causes because that's what's going to be in eternity. And so we want to invest our lives in eternity. That's what we're trying to do. But we also just want to help people, whether it's buying a biscuit for the person behind us at Chick-fil-A, or whether it is to share the biggest piece of chicken at the buffet with the family member you didn't like at Thanksgiving or Christmas. Y'all made it through. I'm proud of you. You did good. Jesus said this, it's crazy teaching in Luke 16. He said this, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. Use your money to make friends so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. That somehow, whenever you use money to just bless people and they turn to you and go, wow, thank you. When your money fails, they're going to be there for you. And your heavenly Father in eternal places receives it all. Right? So be generous with your goods. Be generous with your gifts. Here's what I mean by your gifts. You have a spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That says special gift, but it's a charisma. It's a spiritual gift. Every follower of Jesus, when you receive Christ, he brings a housewarming gift, a part of himself where he wants you to bless the body. Isn't that crazy? And so you need to employ your gift, use your gift in serving the body. I know what you're thinking. Hey, this church don't need me. Man, this big old place, they don't need me. That's a freaking lie. Now, if you're upset because I said the F word right there, it'll probably go downhill the rest of the year, I can just tell you. It's a lie. This place only works, Pine Lake only works, because a lot of people are just saying, hey, I can't be the eyes or the mouth or the head, but I could be the hands, or I could be the toe, or I could be the knee, or I could be the elbow that just holds things together. And I'm saying to you, you have a spiritual gift. Do you know what it is? Have you learned to develop it and begin to use it? Listen, for all of us, in 2 weeks, January 21st, we're going to have a ministry expo right after church where you can walk out the doors and go find a place for you to begin to give your gift away as a good steward of what God has given to you. Your goods, your gifts, and the gospel. Tell people about the hope you have. And that can be a full, man, I'm telling you my testimony. It could just be, you know what, man, God's been good to me. Either way, 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Please get that part. We're not thumping people upside the head or banging them upside the head or yelling or screaming or bold type. We got gentleness and reverence for God and for them, but we're just saying this is how God is meeting me, and he can do the same thing for you. For some of you, the way that you could share the gospel is just by being baptized this year, to stand in the water and let your story be told, or you tell the story, and then you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God, and he's my risen Lord and Savior. And I'm buried with Christ in baptism, and I'm raised to walk in a brand new life. That would be you sharing the gospel with a whole lot of people in this room. What's your plan to become more generous this year? Here's the crazy part about God's economy. The more you learn to give away your goods, your gifts, and the gospel, you don't lose. You actually get stronger. And I know that makes no sense to you if you're not a follower of Jesus, but those of us who've been following Jesus for a while, we know you don't outgive God. He just is so good. Whenever you pour yourself out, man, he just pours himself right back in. And he strengthens you. And so serving and giving and doing good, that's actually spiritually working out, and it makes you stronger. What can you expect if you do this real quick? What happened in the book of Acts when these people did it? When these people began to get fit spiritually, what happened? God showed up. That's the first thing. God showed up, Acts 2:43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Wouldn't you like for 2024 to be marked by just, man, awe and wonder at God, and prayers being answered, and addicts being set free, and homes being restored, and kids being raised up in faithfulness to God? Wouldn't you like that? It starts when you start getting fit spiritually. When we start getting fit spiritually, God starts to show up and joy starts to increase. People were just happy. Look at Acts 2:46. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They're praising God and having favor with all the people. Their relationships were life-giving and people wanted to be around them and bless them, and they're just joy-filled. Life was good. And listen, and even when it wasn't, and if you know anything about the early church, you know for most of these people, it was not good. They lost everything. Many of them persecuted for their faith. Some even die. And yet, on their deathbeds, they would say, I praise him anywhere. I praise God. There was joy that the world couldn't take. And there was a newfound, new people were finding life. We've already said healthy things, typically speaking, multiply. And so God was adding daily to their number. There's just something attractive about a life that's well lived in Jesus. And so when you're spiritually fit, you have a way of influencing others. This generation, can I talk to the young people? You dream about being an influencer. And I want to say to you, God wants you to be an influencer. But he doesn't want you to try to influence the people of the world with the things of the world. He wants you to influence the people of the world with the spiritual light of Jesus. That's what he desires for you. All three of my kids, when they went off to college, struggled. They struggled in different ways. They struggled for different lengths of time. But it was just a struggle to go to a new environment apart from their parents and to try to find their own way. Our middle child, Mackenzie, when she went to Mississippi State, pledged a sorority. It was not the sorority that most all of us thought she would pledge, but she felt a calling to a particular sorority. And so she pledged it. And Mackenzie is very strong spiritually, and so she gets to college, and a lot of the sisters in her pledge class are not really walking that same way. And so it was really hard, a lot of tears, a lot of loneliness and isolation, as she said, but this is who I gotta be. And they're all out there. But at the end of her pledgeship, she was voted as the friendliest Phi. I don't even know what that means, but she was the friendliest one of them. And then the next year, her sorority sister selected her to be the trainer for all the incoming pledges for the next year's class. And then after that, they selected her to be the president of their sorority. And then at Mackenzie's rehearsal dinner, many of her sorority sisters stood up one by one and said, whenever I was running from God our freshman year, my sophomore year, when my life fell apart, I went to Mackenzie Henderson and she helped me. That's influence. Yes. And it's lonely. And it's hard. But it is worth it. And you need mom and daddy who are telling you, baby girl, be strong. You're meant for more. You do need some people around you, sisters and brothers, who can say, come on, man, we got this. Yes. You gotta have it. But the world needs spiritually fit and healthy people in the church to say, I'm growing in my love of God and His Word. I'm praying on the daily because it's who I am. And I'm connected to people who are following Jesus and I'm trying to help them too. And I'm committed to giving my life away, even if it's hard. I'm willing to do it. And so what's your plan to get fit this year? Before you get fit, you got to do what they did, and that is first you got to become spiritually alive, right? That they said, what should we do? We've made such a mess. And Peter said, well, here's what you do. You repent. You turn from yourself and your sin. You turn to God. You get baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the Holy Spirit, and all things are made new. And so today, would you do that? Some of you need to repent of your sins. Say, I need to get baptized and profess that Christ is washing away my sins and I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Come on, would you pray with me across the room right now? Would you pray it even right now in this moment? If you've never received Christ into your life, to forgive you of your sins, but to make you new and say, Holy Spirit, change me from the inside out. Would you just pray it right now? Just pray, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me. I repent of my sins. I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, what you did on the cross. Forgive me. Change me, God. My life is now yours. Some of you, you did that. Maybe this past year, maybe a decade or 10 ago almost. 50 years ago, 20 years ago, and you never grew. You never grew. And so would you right now, would you just say, Jesus, I don't want this year to be a repeat of the last 20 or 50 or the last one. God, I desire for you to grow me. Help me get fit spiritually. And would you ask him to show you today, this afternoon, in the morning, God, would you show me the plan to grow in your word, to grow in prayer, to grow in my connection, and to grow in my generosity and share. I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to stand and sing one last song. It just says, God, it's your breath in my lungs. I pour out everything to you. And while we're singing that, I'm going to have some friends at the front of the room. They'd love to pray with you, pray over you about your new year, to pray with you just to rejoice in God's goodness. You want to come and just kneel down and devote yourself in this new year to the Lord, you can certainly do that. But listen, they're here for you. If you want to give your life to Christ or take a next step in your spiritual journey or be baptized, we're here for you. When we stand and sing at every campus, would you simply walk to the front, take one of them by the hand and say, hey, I need some help. So Lord, we love you. We bless you. You are worthy of our praise. And God, we give you our worship now. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, would you stand with us?